Welcome to the Eating Your Cake 2 podcast. I'm your host, Claire Sieber, global career and leadership coach, facilitator, speaker, and founder of Eating Your Cake 2, a business focused on helping you take control of your career and leadership success. Right here on this podcast, you'll learn how to amplify your influence, accelerate your career growth, create real presence, and have a true impact by learning the tools and strategies that you need to show up with more courage, more confidence, and more clarity. Are you ready? Let's do it. Hello, wonderful human, and welcome back to the Eating Your Cake 2 podcast. I am your host, Claire Sieber, and as always, it is an absolute pleasure to be with you today, and I do not ever take it for granted that you take the time to pop me in your ears as you get about your day or night. So tell me, how have you been? What is happening in your world? And is your 2024 off to a cracking start? I can tell you that mine has been very exciting. I am focusing this year on making sure that I draw much more awareness to the great things that happen in my world along the way, so much so that you may have seen my post a little while back about my good things jar for 2024, which is where every week I make sure that I pop a little post-it note into the jar about the fabulous things that have been happening. And then at the end of this year, I'm going to open up the jar and read back all of the wonderful things that have happened. Why am I doing this, you might be asking? The reason I'm doing it is because I think it's so easy to get to the end of the year and take the time to reflect, which is wonderful, and I do that every year. But when we're trying to close our eyes, reflect on the year in its entirety, I think we miss really cool things that happened. And so that's why I decided this year to create my good things jar so that I was capturing these things along the way. So if you're sitting there thinking, oh, I love that idea, that is really cool. Yes, I know that it's March, but it is never too late for you to start. So if you love this idea, give it a go and send me a picture of your good things jar and how it is filling as your year progresses. Now, what else is happening in my world? I am doing some fabulous work this year with epic organizations all over the world on all things leadership development and career development and resilience. So if you are listening in and trying to decide what you're going to do differently this year to ensure that your team show up motivated, proactive, and as impact players for your organization, then reach out to me and let's have a conversation around how we can bring some epic content, insights, and learning into your organization. Well, what are we here to talk about today, you might be wondering. So the topic for today is around the four key things that you need to be doing in order to really play to your strengths. So I'm curious to know, and I'm sure I am not alone here, when I talk about conventional advice that we have probably received along the way, and it possibly is along the lines of just play to your strengths, just focus on your strengths, and that'll compensate for your weaknesses, right? That's not bad advice. I've got no beef with that advice in and of itself. Where I think it's unhelpful though, is that it's not specific. Just playing to your strengths is great, but how do we do that? And what does that mean? And so the formula that I would like to walk you through today, and this is helpful for you, whether you're thinking about it from the lens of yourself as an individual, and how do I show up and have greater impact to my stakeholders at work, but it's also relevant for you whether you're thinking about this potentially from your team lens as well. And how can you increase the impact of your team inside the organization that you work in? So again, you can think about this from an individual lens, a team lens, a department lens, or an overall organizational lens. And the formula that I want to walk us through in the world according to Claire when it comes to playing to your strengths is that you need to know them, own them, leverage them, and know the point of reverse impact, right? I'm going to say it again. This is the four-part formula, according to Claire, of how you actually play to your strengths, okay? You need to know them, plus own them, plus leverage them, plus know the point of reverse impact. So I'm going to walk you through each one of these today, and I invite you to think about the relevant parts of your life and your role and how you show up at work, specifically with your strengths as well. Okay. So number one, let's talk about what it means to know our strengths. Fairly obvious, right? How do we play to them if we actually don't know what they are? But the question you might be holding, and the question that I often get from clients or when I run workshops is, well, what if I don't know my strengths? How do I go about identifying them? And I think that's a great question to ask. And the advice that I give when I'm met with this question is to step back and as a starting point anyway, step back and really think about what feedback have you received over the years in your career, right? Whether it is from previous managers, team leaders, peers, perhaps other people in your team that you've worked with, what feedback have you received, right? That's the first thing to think about. And what themes or trends are there in the kinds of feedback that you've received over the years? I guarantee you that there will be trends. There will probably be keywords that have been used time and time again about you and to you when people are describing you. So think about what feedback have you received? What performance conversations have you had over the years where certain strengths of yours have been highlighted either in a verbal conversation or written conversation? Reflect on what are the kinds of things that people come to you for advice on. There's probably themes and trends here as well. Do people come to you regularly with the same sorts of questions because they know that you will be the person who will have the answers because it's a strength of yours? Okay. Think about ways in which your friends or family would describe you. What are words that they would use to describe you and your characteristics? Again, the point of this is that we're looking for data. We're looking for data and evidence and themes that then start to provide you with indications of what your strengths may actually be. And remember as well that your strengths can be characteristics, behavioral traits that make you you and that make you particularly fabulous at something, but they might also be strengths that are technically based as well. So don't just limit yourself to thinking about what are the technical skills and strengths that I have. Also really think about what are the personal characteristics that are also that also might be strengths of mine that I bring to the table. So that's the first part. We want to understand what they are. We've got to know them to be able to play to them. Once you've excavated a lot of that information, you've dug up past feedback, you've had the relevant conversations, perhaps consider, particularly if you feel you need more data, consider going out and validating those insights, perhaps with some more specific feedback. Again, that is going to help you get a deeper understanding of what your strengths are. Because, my friend, in order to play to them, we've got to be able to do part one really well, which is to know them. Once we know them, now we can move to part two of the formula, which is to own them. And to be clear, in order to do this formula well, you need every part of it working together. In order to play to our strengths effectively, we can't have just one or two parts of this formula. We actually need all of them working together, supporting each other. If one part is even missing, then we cannot do it as well as what we would be able to otherwise. So part two of the formula of playing to your strengths is to own them. We need to be able to confidently and with conviction own what our strengths are. And if you are one of my listeners in Australia in particular right now, you might know that we have a fabulous, not really, little thing here called tall poppy syndrome, which is where we have a real tendency to tear others down when they talk about their successes or their wins, So people feel uncomfortable doing so and often therefore don't. Most of the time when I ask people to rattle off, what do you think some of your weaknesses might be? And remember that to be a truly self-aware person, we need to know our strengths and our weaknesses. But more often than not, when I ask the question around what are your weaknesses, people have absolutely no trouble rattling those off the top of their head with confidence. Yet, when I flip the narrative and I ask them, talk to me about what strengths you are really owning about yourself, they get uncomfortable. They're not sure. Who am I to really say that that's a strength? In order to play to our strengths well, you also need to be able to own them. And owning them means being able to say out loud to yourself and to others, hi, my name is Claire, and these are the things that I'm actually really great at. If you can't do that, or as you're hearing me say this, you feel really uncomfortable, then that is the area of this formula that you might need to invest some more time in. By asking yourself the question of, well, what will it take for me to own this strength with confidence? What will it take for me to be able to walk into a job interview, internally or externally to my organization, and answer the question with conviction around what are your strengths? What strengths make you you? In order to play to our strengths well, we have to own them confidently. And so that is why this is part two of this four-part formula. Know them and own them. That then takes me to part three of our play to your strengths formula, which is about, now that we know them, now that we own them, we also need to be able to leverage them effectively. So when I talk about leveraging your strengths effectively, it isn't just about saying, well, here's my strengths and I guess I kind of use it in my day to day. It is actually about getting really, really clear on all of the different ways that you can leverage that particular strength. And that requires you getting a little bit creative and getting very curious. So let's just say, for example, that a strength of yours, I'll use a strength of mine. A strength of mine is coaching. And irrespective of the fact that I am now a qualified coach, feedback that I used to get along the way, even in my corporate roles, was that I'm great at coaching. Now, the assumption from this strength could be that you think, oh, I'm great at coaching my team. Right. So I'll just leverage a coaching approach to the way I engage my direct reports and the way that I have my one-on-one conversations. And you're not wrong. Absolutely. That is the obvious way of which we might leverage that particular strength. So we're really good in our one-on-ones and making sure we're actively listening. We're asking really helpful questions. We are paraphrasing back to share alignment and clear understanding of each other. However, if you really want to play to your strengths, you will take it a step further and you'll ask yourself, what are the other ways in my job role that I can leverage this same strength with my stakeholders? Now, using the same example of coaching, what that might look like is, well, what meetings do I go to with peers, my direct manager, my CEO, my CFO, where I might be able to use a really effective coaching approach and really powerful questions to drive a conversation forward, to move forward and make a decision, to get a conversation out of the gurgler, which we so often happen. We know that happens in meetings, right? Everybody's just sitting there saying, good God, can this be over, right? How might you be able to use a coaching approach in order to drive those conversations forward? That's one way that you might leverage it. Another way that you might leverage it is when I am managing upwards, how do I use a coaching approach to help my manager feel heard, seen, understood, and like I really get their world, therefore demonstrating and showcasing myself as an impact player and a high potential employee who is thinking bigger. So when we talk about leveraging your strengths, I want you to get beyond just the obvious way
in which you use it and start thinking more broadly of the ways that you can use it at an enterprise level with all of the different types of people that you come into contact with in your day to day. So that is part three of our four-part playing to your strengths formula. So to recap, we have said you must know them and own them and be able to leverage them. Now, part four of the framework, which is so often ignored, is that you must know the point of reverse impact. Now, what on earth do I mean by that, you might be wondering? I mean that every strength has a shadow, and every strength has a tipping point that when we overplay it, it can become a hindrance to us, or it can detract from our ability to actually have the impact that we want. So it's really important that when you're leveraging a strength, you also know when is too much. And just because it is a strength for you doesn't necessarily mean that it is a strength for others. And therefore, we've got to be aware of that if we want to leverage it effectively, or we end up doing more damage than good. To give you an example of this, I had a participant in a workshop that I was running a few months ago very vulnerably and openly acknowledge this light bulb moment that she had. And she said, you know what? I have just realized where I'm overplaying this strength. Her particular strength that she was referring to was that she was very, very good at taking complex data and turning it into stories that people could then understand and therefore make better decisions from. But what she also realized was that because her strength was being able to take this complex information and quickly make sense of it herself, she would get frustrated, visibly frustrated, when other people were not as quick at picking it up and understanding it as what she was. So what was playing out here was that a strength that she had for herself, by overplaying it too much, was then causing her to get frustrated and demonstrate that frustration with others who didn't have the same strength. And I thought that was a really beautiful moment of openness and vulnerability, and a very, very perfect example of where we can have strengths that we lean into too much, that we make assumptions that everybody else has those as a strength as well. So I share that example with you because we will all have this point of reverse impact, which is where if we overplay that strength or we push it too hard, that it might end up working against us. And then we actually won't be having the impact that we want to have at all. So that is why all of these parts of our formula need to work together effectively in order for us to do this really well. So to recap, my friend, four-part formula for you to be able to play to your strengths is you need to know them, own them, leverage them, and know the point of reverse impact. Now, the bottom line here is, why wouldn't we play to our strengths, right? It is far easier for us to play to our strengths and get better and better at things that we're already great at than what it is to flip a weakness into something good. Now, am I saying with this that you can ignore your weaknesses? No. We absolutely need to understand what our weaknesses are and then make some really smart decisions around which weaknesses we should focus on in order to get to where we want to go. There will be things that you are not great at, and you should focus on the ones, on the weaknesses that you need to get better at in order to be a more effective leader. But it is easier to focus on and have a clear understanding of the things you already do really well, and then think about how you can leverage those more than only focusing on the things that you're not as good at. So I'm encouraging you to have and drive awareness of both of those things. And if you can do that consistently and effectively and using all four parts of the formula I have just given you, you will be amazed at the opportunities that will come your way. So that is it from me today, friend. I would love to hear from you. What is a strength of yours? How do you own it? How do you leverage it? And after listening to this episode, what do you think that the point of reverse impact is? Click me a DM on whatever social you like to follow me on and let me know what your key takeaway is from this episode. And lastly, if you or your team could benefit from having a conversation just like this inside your organization, reach out and let's have a conversation around how we can drive some epic change together in 2024. That is it from me, my friend. As always, I am so grateful for you popping me in your ears as you get about your day or night. If you love what you hear, then please leave me a review. That is it, and I will see you very, very soon.